Hello, this is Katie, and we're on the ninth day of the 10-day Money Matrix Marathon. And we got a big day today because we'll be doing both clearings and we will have a get it done day. And as I explained in my letter to everybody, you get a chance to do things that with other people holding you responsible. We meet and check in every couple of hours, and it's actually a lot of fun. And for given that we're doing a lot of clearing and everything, as I said, I think you'll want to be gentle and not have huge goals, but just see what you think you can do today that would go some way in helping your financial situation. And it could be clearing clutter even, or something like that, where just clearing out things that are getting in your way. So I'm going to start with talking about the themes we'll be dealing with today. And we're a little behind, so I thought I would combine two themes today because they go well together, although they're slightly different. And we'll start with clearing around the first one and then go into clearing around the second one. And the first thing being the spiritual, the vow of poverty that often spiritual people take, or the spiritual, I guess the archetype is the holy man out in the wild or something, getting not needing anything really and not taking anything and just basically a vow of poverty. And and the other character we'll take is Scrooge, who is actually quite well off but won't use his wealth for any good purposes, and just really holds on to it. And so what I'm going to do is first we'll deal with the spiritual archetype of the poor, the poor spiritual person, and then we'll go into the one about Scrooge, and we'll see how much time we can get to do that. And just basically a positive habit or a money matrix magic spell for today is just being aware of and taking care of your finances in terms of being on top of your books and accounting for what comes in and comes out. And often if you've got a dysfunctional relationship with money, you don't want to see what's there or what you spend or what you do. And so a tendency on some people's part can be just to try and ignore it and not look at the figures. And it's always really important to keep account of what's coming in and what's going out and in what categories they are. Where are you really spending your money, and is it in alignment with your values? And there's a lot of people who suggest that you actually write down or account for everything that you have each day. I've done this at points. I haven't found it really sustainable over time for myself because I have problems doing anything every day. But it is a good habit in terms of really knowing where thing you know where your dollars and cents are going. So that's something that I know is advised by a lot of people and is a good thing. And maybe for some of you it's an easier thing to do than others, depending on your personality. But certainly being aware of what comes in on a monthly basis and your basics, ways that you spend your money is really, really important. So, and that goes of course for your business and knowing what is, if you have a business, knowing what money you're making and how it's being spent. And it can be quite shocking sometimes to a business because you think you're doing okay, and then you look at all the things that you're spending money on, And really, you're not making a great deal of profit. It's not really a business that actually is all that viable if you look at the figures. And so it's really important to kind of look at things that you do in your business and what's actually bringing you in money and what isn't. And there may be a lot of, it can be quite shocking sometimes to kind of look at your activities and actually figure out which ones are generating you income and in what relationship, like how much, because you may be spending, hours and hours on something that just gets you a few dollars and then not leaving aside the things that actually could be more profitable. So that's an area that is important to look at, and maybe that's something you want to do in your get it done day is look at your finances, bring them up to date. And of course, I know a lot of people have challenges around taxes and keeping on top of that and getting them done, and that's all part of the same thing. So I'm going to talk a little bit now more about the poor sage or the poor wise man or wise woman, and or this poor spiritual person. I think where in a lot of spiritual traditions, there's a vow of poverty, where and also there's kind of the attitude that in order to be spiritual, you have to deny yourself materially, and that the material life is something that is opposed to the spiritual life. On the other hand, in a lot of religions, while they say that, and the priests and nuns, for example, in the Catholic Church have a vow of poverty, the institution, as it is, has been immensely powerful and immensely wealthy, as evidenced by the Vatican. So there's always an interesting side to these things in organized religion. However, it does. I know that as a Catholic, growing up in a Catholic household, although my father was, Jewish in origins, but I was brought up as a Catholic, and in our family, my mother was very much, into being poor and supporting the poor and sympathizing with the poor and feeling guilty, I think, about having any wealth and feeling that she always needed to give it away. So whenever she's had money, she's given it away. And not really recognizing that her own needs were important there. And there's a lot of sayings in the Christian religion about poverty, almost like it's in the sense that it's more spiritual to be poor. And there's the old, and I can't remember it right at this moment. I should write it down and have it in front of me, but the one about the rich man being able to go to heaven is about as easy as as him a camel, I think, passing through a needle. Maybe Loretta can remembers that one better than me, after her years of being a Catholic nun. So there's all kinds of sayings that are in the spiritual traditions which make you think that you can't be spiritual and you can't and have money, and that can actually really hold us back. Also, I think there's a similar thing with the, well, there's definitely is a similar thing with the artist. And the artist is, the true artist often is seen as a poor artist. And it's almost there. Again, you have to have a vow of poverty to do your art. And of course, often that really holds you back in the end. And another place where it is with shamans. And shamans were traditionally supported by the community and given to, given presence, given support in tribal societies and in many societies. But with now, of course, a person who's doing healing and shamanism does not have that support of the community. And so if they have the old rules that you're not supposed to charge, That doesn't really work because they can't survive properly, and they can't provide for their families or for themselves. So these are a couple of realms where we have this vow of poverty operating, and it really doesn't serve us. Of course, concentration only on material wealth does go against a spiritual development, but there is an in-between and a way of being with what you need and getting what you need, and at the same time being spiritual, having to, devoting yourself to spiritual values and community and the betterment of the community. So that's my intro. Oh, I should just say a No, I'm going to talk about Scrooge a bit later, because when we actually start that clearing, and other than to say that that's another, it's a rich person who feels poor, so that's reflected in their spending. So let's open up the lines a little bit for what's coming up in general. And also around this particular issue, and then we'll do some clearings, and then we'll move on to the Scrooge archetype. Okay, so I'm going to open up the line now, and here we go. Mute.
Hello.
There.
This is
Hi.
Oh.
Did I hear this is Anne?
Yes.
Great.
This is sort of the core question that I have, which is, I know in my mind, I've heard it's okay to make money, but I keep thinking about the money that I made that has been made upon, in a not the best way. Like even, money given to me from money that's been earned by a sweatshop, I have to figure out a way to turn this around so I don't feel guilty about everything I do with money. Do you know what
I'm
saying?
Right. Yes, and in fact, everything, we're inevitably connected to ways that money is not being used right. I mean, whatever you do, you can have a pension fund and it's being used to exploit people.
Yes, and I don't know what to do with this.
Okay, so we'll just put, that's a great one to put into the pot. So we'll do that because that's a really important one for change makers. How do we be in this world without exploiting somebody because of the way the monetary system is set up? Huh, I'm echoing.
Yeah,
bless Mercury retrograde. So would somebody, did you have anything else to say on that, Anne, or...
No, that's a pretty simple one, and I'm looking forward to getting resolved on this one.
Okay, we'll do our best today. Okay, so who else would like to say? Okay.
Kathy?
Katie?
Oh, so I hear Wend and I hear Kathy. I think I heard Wend first, so then I'll take you, Wend, and then I'll take Kathy, okay?
Okay, sure. Hi, Kathy. Yeah, well, I did some writing a couple of days ago around this one, and it just kind of came out of the blue. But it had to do with my realization that when I was a teenager, I was actually desiring to live a life of luxury. Like I was in a middle class family, but I really aspired to that. In fact, I remember my father saying to me, "Oh, you're a lover of luxury." But then what happened?
How awful!
Yeah. Well, it wasn't necessarily a criticism. He was just kind of recognizing it, that that's, where I was
really?
At. And
okay.
Yeah, I didn't take it as a criticism. But what happened is that then I met somebody the person who I ended up marrying, and it was at the time when, the hippies and the, anti-establishment and anti-capitalism and all that. And so, and he convinced me that in order to be a true blue radical and to leave I had to leave the values of my upbringing behind, and which also meant becoming very critical of people who had money and taking this, being being poor, basically, right?
Yes.
And so I realized that I did that switch at a certain point. At least it felt like a switch. And I'd like to go in and do some more writing around that. But there's something that went on there, and I don't completely know what exactly triggered me to do that, other than just to be acceptable to him, right? So that I would be acceptable to somebody that he wanted to marry, blah, blah, blah. And so we took this lifestyle of living very low level of possessions and money. And yeah, so anyway, whatever, that's what happened. And I feel I'm still sort of pulled in under that energy because I was very, I was 18, so I was very impressionable.
Right. Oh, good realization. And I certainly know that I was pulled into the whole thing of, I had it from my family in terms of Christianity and Catholicism, idolizing poverty on some levels. And then I remember because I became a radical revolutionary, and it was not acceptable that I have money. So I gave all my money away, or at least as much of it as I could. And it's actually interesting because, I actually was at a gathering of all these people who, it was like about 30 years later, with all these people who were radicals and whatever. And some of them were really well off, and I think I was one of the poorest. And it just struck me. You know what? These vows of poverty that we all were taking in some ways, I've taken it the most seriously, and I don't like this anymore.
Yeah.
And so, it's not serving me anymore. So good. So that's helpful to have also that other part, because there, you know, it is also social activists and all that, you know, who've said, you know, you need to be poor and you need to be at the level of the working class or lower in order to be politically correct. So it's interesting. So thank you. So we had Kathy there, I think. Or anything else, Wend? I'm sorry,
no,
before you.
That's fine for now, yeah.
Okay, great. So Kathy?
There was a couple of things. I have that same sort of social activist issue about fairness and the inequalities in the world and feeling like I shouldn't have more than other people so there's that, and I've had that for a really long time. And the other day, when I think it was day five, when we were, I can't remember what we were doing, but all of a sudden I had this sense that, because there was always like, I shouldn't have more than other people and sort of wanting this fairness, and it sort of always like bringing it down to a level. And then when we were doing one of the clearings, what came to me is that what I really want is more joy for everyone in the world. And and so like, rather than focusing on sort of not me not having stuff to make it fairer for everybody else, what I want my job to be is, how do I create more joy for everybody in the world, and so that the money piece isn't my job is joy, like, is, you know, sort of creating the bubbles that bring everyone up, and so rather than focusing on the fairness of bringing me down to, or whatever. And then the other piece is around, I think, what Anne was talking about in the whole investment world and where your money goes and how it's used in the world, and not trust. When I was working on this yesterday, I was thinking, okay, I have to trust that I'll know how to do this properly, because what I'm experiencing is having problems receiving the money that's coming to me right now, because I'm afraid that my investments won't be used well in the world. So I'm kind of not letting it in, because, and so, it's like, how do I feel in my body and in my intuition and in my, my purpose in the world, trust that I'll know how to do this right, and how that I'll, I mean, or not perfectly. We all, none of it's perfect, but how I can be the best channel for this in the world. But it's sort of like grounding that.
Wonderful. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah, an investment is a big thing. How do you use money that comes to you? What way do you invest it?
Because that's what creates the world that we're in, right? The things that we invest in are what is the world that we're creating. And I know I always say to my, like, the investments that I have, like, I don't want to be funding things that I'm going to have to go out and protest on the streets, you know? It's like, I want to be funding, I want to be creating, like, using my money to create the world that I want to see happen, not the one that I'm trying to prevent from happening.
Yes. And, yeah, and I mean, it is a big question, and part of my feeling around that in some ways is you've got a good thing on the intuition and going with your body, and to me in some ways it's also going with what you love and feel is so important, you know. In terms of the investing, I mean, one can invest in 1,000,000,000 things that are good, and yet what is the one, you know, it's like investing being money being linked to what you invest your energy in general. So it's a whole interesting field there. So thank you. Anything else, or anybody else want to say something? Sorry, anything else, Kathy?
Nope.
Thank you. Anybody else want to say something?
I have something.
Katie?
It's
good.
Oh, it's Tyra.
Tyra, hi, Tyra.
Good morning. I work with a lot of very poor people, and I was very lucky to get a job when I got it. It was an internship, and so I teach alternatives to violence, and a lot of the people are out of work and so forth. And I do feel sorry for people, and I feel sorry for myself too, because I'm very poor. and I didn't used to be poor. I used to be kind of halfway rich. And so I'm trying to, I mean, people resent me because they have to pay for these courses. And in fact, I cannot turn them down for lack of ability to pay. And also, I want to teach them the joy of making money and of being self-sufficient. And so, you know, I'm always kind of in the middle. I feel guilty if I'm heavy-duty collecting from them, but I do heavy-duty collect from them because it's not only for my good, it's for their good. But, you know, you can get mixed up in your own philosophy sometimes, and I can become the mother, you know, telling the kids to be responsible and all that kind of thing, which is okay. But it has, you know, kind of a confluence of different things that are confusing.
Yeah.
And so that goes on. And then another place that I feel guilty is if I waste money. You know, if I go to the grocery store and buy stuff that is really luxurious and maybe not even necessary, but they're just good. They taste good. And that, and then also, I somehow don't feel guilty if I buy a shirt on sale at Kmart or Walmart because I'm not spending a lot of money. But if I do something that's luxurious, then I can know that sometimes I just think it's really good just to buy good quality clothes. And so I have a whole lot of cheap shirts that I don't feel guilty about. instead, I used to have really nice clothes.
Okay.
But when I'm getting in, and it's just easier, you know, because if I go through, you know, a big discount store, I can pick up something for $5.95 or $7.95 and not feel guilty. So that's just a little bit. And yet, it's really more of a waste than if I buy something good that's going to last a long time and be something that I feel good in.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're being a Scrooge with yourself. which we'll probably deal with in the later part of this call, is not allowing yourself to have those nice clothes. And So
I have a friend who's kind of like a godmother, and she gives me really nice things that are brand new. She buys them in New York and sends them to me. But they may or may not be my taste. They're wonderful, good things, but they're not always things that look the best on me. And then I feel obliged to her, of course. I don't ever ask her for anything. She's just that way with people. And but I feel obliged. And then I think she sometimes gets very angry at me because she's given too much.
Okay.
She has given too much to me. And so then she'll spend an evening scolding me.
Oh, gosh.
My godmother scolds me. And I hate it when she does that. She, you know, like, well, where does your money go? How does it, you know, all this.
Mm-hmm.
And she's never lived in poverty. But that's okay. I mean, I understand her point of view. And I don't think she should be doing it either. But I appreciate it when it works. You know, it's just kind of confusing.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tyra. So we'll put that in the pot. Anybody else got anything to put in the pot around this?
Katie, it's Loretta.
Hi, Loretta.
Back to my vow of poverty. I love it. Everything is really powerful, but I think this is the one that's going to really, really take me down a path of growth and clearing. And anyway, you did get the eye of the needle, Pamela, going through and Rich Man Right, so just I want to
affirm. Oh, good.
but, you know, what I'm feeling inside in my gut is just this knot of anger. And it has to do with not the fact that I lived that vow of poverty for 50 years, because it was this spiritual, and you're right on. I can just feel it, this whole thing of, you know, you are a wholly better person if you live more poorly. And I remember, because I was in leadership and everybody had to send in their accounts, and there was this spreadsheet of who lived with using the least money. And it was kind of like a point of, look at this sister. She doesn't spend hardly any money to live, you know. And it was really a badge of honor not to spend a lot of money. But where my knot is when I left the community, I was 68 years old, which was a very unusual thing. And so they made an exception. When you live in a community like I did, and this is true for, as far as I understand, all women religious, you cannot claim anything. If you leave, you have nothing. You have nothing. They owe you nothing. That's the way they say it. We owe you nothing. And so they made an exception for me because of my age and knowing it would be difficult for me to get out there into the work world at 68 and all that kind of. But the exception that they made was to give me just enough on a monthly basis that would keep me at the poverty level so that I could then use government programs to supplement. And anyone that's dealt with government programs know just how difficult it is and how much you have to kind of demean yourself, really, to be able to get this, quote, available money. And it was very, very hard for me. And the thing that was hardest was that I knew as long as I were to stay in there, I would really live a life of luxury. I mean, I had everything I needed, everything I wanted. It wasn't like the convent days when I first entered where you had nothing. You ate the food on the table. I mean, I had a lot of options. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I still do. I can feel it. This is going to be a good day to work through this because it really does. I'm angry at the way in which my self-worth was really, I don't want to say they did it to me, but I had to really work with a counselor to try to get to that place where I could say, I deserve more. They're never going to give me more. And I know that I live now on like 1/4 of what most of the sisters that are still in the community have access to. But this group of women that I served with for 50 years felt perfectly justified to give me this largesse of minimal money to live on. And I've supplemented it with different, you know, activities and different things that I've done, but it feels unfair to me. And
yeah.
I still haven't resolved it. So I just, it's kind of a collage of feelings. Well, the main feeling is anger, but this is touching very deeply. I guess that's what I want to say. Because when I lived to the vow of poverty, I was cared for beyond. And I'm really living in poverty. I can really appreciate what Tyra is saying, even though it looks from the outside. And I do. I have wonderful food, and I have a great place to live, and I'm really blessed in so many ways. But that doesn't take away this feeling of, you know, this isn't right. This is just not fair. Because I chose to something that was not acceptable. It's that kind of feeling of, this is what you have to then. Anyway.
Thank you. So we'll put that in and see what comes with that one.
Thank you.
But that, I mean, this is obviously a really powerful part of your, of what you need to clear.
You can feel it. Yeah, I can feel it.
Either today or a part, you know, hopefully we can get a good chunk out there, if not all, today. And it's certainly where it looks like there's a lot of stuff. So, anybody else here?
Hi, Katie. It's Alex.
Hi, Alex.
This is a good, juicy one. It's interesting, yeah. So I think I really identify with the starving artist, but then also because more of the last 10 years it's been more about being of service as a yoga instructor and meditation and all those things. So definitely, it's interesting. It's like I have a sense of entitlement, but yet I still have the program of the poverty level. So definitely this one is one that I thought I had dealt with, but today I'm seeing that it's obviously still, there's a charge there. And what's interesting too is that I would attract a situation for my studio, which, you know, is in complete contrast. So being in a luxury hotel with my studio and all that, yet still living, you know, just like, yeah, like it kind of like the description of being, you know, in the convent, like just that feeling of just survival versus thrival. Yet always on the outside being joyous and giving the appearance that you're thriving and you have more than you need, which we do on some level. Our basics are provided for and we don't need a lot. That's the difference, is it's not that we need it, it's that we would like to have more. Like I'm trying to understand what it is, like the difference between, you know, like we have shelter and we have food, but what is the next level of living in a place of thriving, not surviving? Like what does that mean? And not feeling the guilt of having, you know, the luxury sweater or a luxury meal or something that is a little bit more than the basics.
Thank you. Yeah. And right, those elements that are just more than the normal of life, or at least what we've become accustomed to in terms of basic needs, yeah, and having the beautiful things in life, too.
I think what's coming to me, Katie, is that, you know, no one really knows from the outside, like, so it's really up to us to change the inside, because,
right,
you know, from the outside, you can have different appearances and people will think that you're thriving, but if you're not thriving on the inside, then it's like it's just an illusion.
Right. And actually, that's something that can, and I've heard, is that you can have $1 million and still feel poor on the inside and still actually have big monetary problems. So that's a good point, and I think it's something that is impacting others as well here in this call. So, and the sense of, yeah, like kind of looking on at luxury, being just beside luxury and yet not really fully being able to partake of it. It's like you're at the feast, but you can't feast, like you can't really have all of it.
Exactly.
It just appears like you can.
Yeah, it's the Cinderella thing. It's the thing of if it's there for you, but then are you ready to step into it and you know, play at that level, and not
right.
at the cost of losing your integrity and your, you know, like we were talking about ethics in terms of what you're buying and, you know, really being a model for this new way. I think that's the other thing, is we're being called to this new way of really being in the world and living it and embodying it and being examples of it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and we're needing to make a new story around money, that's for sure. Yeah. Thank you, Alex. Anybody else who wanted to say
Katie?
Something? And then we're really definitely going to turn.
It's Katrina.
Katrina?
Hi.
Oh, good. And I heard somebody else, so we'll first have Katrina and then whoever else.
There's, you know, I certainly can relate to pieces of everything that was said, and I think what I'm experiencing is there's this lack of modeling and lack of the concept that you can be paid for who you are and what what gift you bring to the table, and not, because I think I noticed that for me, there's also more collective kind of blocks about women making less money than men, and that's still in existence, and that
definitely
that hasn't shifted at all. I mean, it shifted very little, and women work harder than men in many ways, and we do more than men in many ways, and yet we get earn less and less, and it seems to be that's just a barrier that just hasn't really lifted. You know, fully in the collective, and how do we press through that glass ceiling? And what happens is like what you were talking about, you know, the Cinderella story is like giving and giving and giving and slaving and slaving and slaving and never get anything, you know, back or even, you know, recognition or even noticing, you know, what you're doing.
Mm.
So like the invisibility piece. And
yes.
So I really think that there's also another piece that has to do with women earning less than men, and that's kind of our lot in life, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's just something I thought I'd mention.
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely, even though there have been a lot of struggles and changes to get women having equal pay, and some of us have probably been part of that. I certainly have. It's still not happening, and also worse, it's still very internalized inside of ourselves that we're not to be valued in the same way that men are.
Right.
And so we don't always fight. We may fight collectively for better wages, but when it gets to being us fighting it on the work in the workplace, unless it's really obvious, we often don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't feel, oh, well, you know. Yeah, I know women in general are just as equal as men, and yet I'm not sure about myself if I'm as valuable here, you know, and I should be paid as much or whatever. Or there's not that same confidence, I guess, you know, in our value.
And it's,
so,
it's in the theme that I kind of, what I heard in everybody sharing is that they're willing to you know, just accept like this base level of what they need, food and shelter, you know, and that there's something that they should be okay with that. And wanting more and desiring things that really give you pleasure, lasting pleasure, things that bring you joy, is something that is a little more difficult.
Yeah.
And, but I think that there's a piece there in that arena that needs to be pressed into, because I think that's where a gold mine is.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, where the guilt comes in, at least for me, is when I've gone so long in depriving myself and then I splurge because I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
And then feel maybe have buyer's remorse, or, you know, I didn't deserve that. I shouldn't have, you know, spent that on that. And as opposed to giving me simple pleasures along the way so I don't reach that tipping point. Does that make sense? You know, and then,
yeah,
and
it's then almost like when you're dieting and you're restricting yourself for everything, and then you go and, you know, totally eat a chocolate cake or something.
Right.
same kind of mechanism that depriving ourselves does.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. So we'll put all this in, and I think I heard one more person, so we'll...
Yeah, it's me at the background, Trina, waiting to talk.
Okay, hi, Trina.
Hi there. You know, one thing that has come up with almost a lot of the people who've shared is that, and this is a problem for me, because where, in the sense that where architects get their money is from filthy rich people, who want something that is way in excess of any normal person's need. And, you know, that's a bunch of judgment coming out there. But, you know, it's like I designed a 6,000-square-foot house for my brother once, and I hated it. It was crazy. You know, I talked him down from 6,500 to 5,200 square feet, million-dollar house. It was insane. And I am just uncomfortable working with that level. And so much of architecture is about this sybaritic need to wallow in way more space than we need, and so on. So, you know, what I want to work on is people, you know, housing and buildings for people where it's just enough. But of course, the people who have that kind, who acknowledge that that's what they need is just enough, mostly have not allowed themselves, or, you know, the concept is that architects are people who work for the filthy rich, and so they're just going to make do, and they're not going to hire an architect because that's wasting money, because architects will take 15% to 20% of the job cost so that they too can be filthy rich and wallow in luxury. And so the governor's been after me for years, because they go, well, architects are supposed to make $62,000 a year, and you say you only made $3,000. That can't be right. You owe us taxes. I was like, well, actually, it is right, you know. But I don't, you know,
So you are, I mean, you can obviously see from what you're saying is that there's no way you want to make, consciously and subconsciously, you don't want to make money in this profession because you feel like it's a sellout.
Yeah, well, it's very fashionista, I think. Yeah, but it's interesting that something like 30% of the architects in America have gone on to find something different to do, because there aren't any, there, you know, that surplus wealth to add an $80,000 bathroom is like not there. I mean, I swear to God, I worked for a company for about 3 months, and one of my jobs is design an $80,000 bathroom addition. I was what are you crazy to mind? He was 90 years old. He wasn't going to live long enough to... anyway.
Well, okay. So that's some stuff to clear maybe, because maybe it's getting in the way of you actually having enough money to do some other projects that might have less, which might pay you less, but may, yeah.
You know, the other thing is that, you know, it's that and disability and all that other sort of stuff has gotten me to the point where I'm totally broke, totally, you're not starving, but no money at all. You know, I've got 50 cents in my pocket. That's it. And the $30 on the shelf for you. But
you're not filthy rich.
Well, and then I'm certainly not filthy rich, but I live in
a... So you've had your vow of poverty is not to be filthy rich.
Yeah. So the thing is to allow myself to have enough. And I realized from reading that thing that, delving into that thing that Denise posted the other day, that blog, and, you know, in the end there, she's talking about if you're coming from a space of desperately needing money, people can read it on you and they back off. They go, well, if you need money so bad, like, you know, why am I paying you? You must be incompetent if you're broke. So there's that whole attitude of that the attitude aspect of having money, people be comfortable sending money your way. You have to not need it. You have to be in a space of not psychically, emotionally not needing it before people will give it to you. I thought that was interesting.
Right.
I know it's all that.
That definitely
that
is part
stuff,
of it.
But it is an interesting point. Anyway,
great. So we'll put that in the pot too, and thank you, and you know, work further on that, because I can just see that with that belief, there's no way you're going to actually make money. So let's actually, I'm going to start.
Well, Katie, I have one more to put in here.
Oh, sorry,
Katie,
yes, Nina.
It's Nina.
Nina.
I finally got here this morning, sorry. My comment is that I don't remember taking a vow of poverty ever in my life. And yet, at this stage in my life, where I'm over 50 and less employable than I used to be and wanting to be self-employed, growing a business in a very challenging economy, it appears that I have taken a vow of poverty that I don't remember taking, and I'm really not liking it. I'm really pissed as hell.
Okay, good. So and there was nothing in your background of people going broke later on in life.
Well, actually, yes. My grandfather did. My ancestors lost everything and got things back, and lost everything and got things back. So we're kind of that roller coaster thing.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So
certainly, my ancestors who left Europe lost everything.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe that's playing out.
Maybe
sorry,
so.
I didn't catch that because there's some interference. What did you say, Nina, just then?
I said, didn't your ancestors who left Europe lose pretty much everything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my father came to England with almost nothing, and actually when I was born they put me in my crib was a drawer. It was a drawer in a chest. So and actually my father had gone through various depressions, various cycles of losing things, you know, like his father lost his business at one point and then rebuilt it. So, yeah, so that's actually an important cycle to know, because there may be part of you also that never, and somebody brought this up at an earlier clearing, and that is a fear of having a lot of money because you're going to lose everything. And so,
no, I don't have that fear consciously. I don't have that fear consciously. I have it unconsciously. Yes, you're right.
Right, but and there is somebody else on the call. I can't remember who it was that did bring up that they were afraid of losing things. It was a few days ago, I think. So, okay, well, thank you, Nina. So we'll see where we'll go with this clearing, and I'm going to start. I'm going to just say something about the Scrooge and just start clearing on that, because part of it, part of the Scrooge is that even if they have, you know, the basics, they won't allow themselves to spend on certain things. And I see with certain people, like we've got things that we won't spend on clothing or won't spend on the beautiful, nice things about life. And so I'm just going to maybe sneak that in right now, and before we go into the character, and just see if we can get something more on that. Okay, so we've got lots here, and we'll see what we can do. I'm gonna first start with Trina here, and what Trina's raised, because there's something about being filthy rich, which I think is a good one for all of us to clear. And also, I mean, Gary raised it a few days ago with me, I think on Facebook, is the clearing around things like wealth and abundance. Even the words themselves have a charge. You know, like, how does it feel for you? And everybody can think about this because it's different for everybody. How would it feel to you to say, I am rich? And, like, is there a negative charge? Just write down if there's a negative charge and what it is. And then I am wealthy. And how do you feel about that? I am abundant, or I have abundance, an abundance of material wealth or whatever. Now, so just notice how you feel when you say those words. Are those words charged for you? Is there a negative charge to abundance or positive? Is there a negative charge to wealth? Is there a negative charge to rich? So now we're going to go into some of all this stuff. Even though I don't want to be filthy rich, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I don't want to be filthy rich, or a wealthy, exploiting capitalist, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I really don't want to be filthy rich, I deeply love and accept myself. What is it about being rich? What is it? Oh, and right here, if people want to tap their feet, like alternately, or just do EFT tapping, if you know and feel comfortable with EFT tapping, please do it. Or any other method that, you know, helps clear things. But I'm just getting it all out here. So we've done, even though I'm feeling not rich. Gee, I just interrupted myself, so I'm going to just try and get back. So even though I don't feel good about being rich, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I can't accept being rich, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I have a lot of bad things associated in my mind about being rich or wealthy or abundant or just having enough, I deeply love and accept myself. Filthy rich. I don't want to be filthy rich. I don't want to exploit the world. I don't want to misuse resources. Human beings are already taking up too much space. It's immoral how much space some people are taking, and some people are taking none. It's immoral. I don't want it. I don't want to be part of the exploiting class. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be wealthy. I don't want to be any of those things because it'll damn me. I'll be selling my soul. I'll be doing something that isn't in consonance with my values. What am I to do with richness? What am I to do with wealth? What investments? What can I do? Every single penny and piece of money in some ways is tainted. Tainted because we're in a society that's screwed up about money and there ain't too much I can do about it. Not as an individual. Not as an individual. As a collective, yes, we can shift, but in the meantime, I need to live. I need to live, and I need to do my purpose, and I need to be part of the shift, and yet I need to have enough to do the shift. And there is abundance for all. It's just a lie that it's only for a few. And it's just a travesty that it's only for a few. And yes, a lot of people don't need the space they have. They don't need the huge houses. It's just filling up an emptiness. It's filling up an emptiness, which all the ad campaigns make you fill out by objects and buying more and more and more. And what if I am a part of all this exploitation? What if I am a part of it? Because all of us are a part of it. There's none of us who are innocent completely. And what if at the same time I'm not a part of it? I'm not a part of it. It's not my fault. I'm not guilty. It's okay for me to have wealth. It's okay for me to be abundant in the way that I need to be abundant with the space that I need. And only me really knows what I need. But it's hard to get to that source, to get to that source of intuitive knowing of what is poverty consciousness, what I really need, and what I want, and what is good, and what fulfills me, and what brings more beauty to my life. It's hard sometimes to figure that out. So I should stop trying to use my head to figure it out and just use my body and go towards what feels good and what feels light and what feels good and what feels light. Filthy rich. No, I've been filthy poor for too long. I've been filthy poor for too long. I haven't been able to have all the things that I need to be clean in my relationship to money. I've been doing too many things just to struggle, just to get by. I've been tainted by poverty. Filthy poor. Yes, the poor are not always the examples of what we want to be. Poor people are not so good because poverty isn't so good and it doesn't make you act so good and it's really hard and it's really stressful. So why the hell am I keeping to this vow of poverty? It's not serving me and it's not serving others, and the world needs a new definition. The world needs to move into a new story. I need to move into a new story. I need to use my talents, whether it be as an architect, as somebody in the eco field, as an artist, whatever I am, I need to use these skills and I need to be paid for it. And why should the people who have the least consciousness have the money? Why are we letting them have it? Why are we giving it away to them by not stepping into what we are? Why are we letting them take it, monopolize it, take it, monopolize it, take it, monopolize it? What could we do with wealth to shift things? What could we do with wealth to shift things? And yes, maybe some of our money may be misused. And yes, everything we buy in some ways may have some aspect of exploitation and slave labor in it. It's really hard not to have it in this world. And if we were to spend all our time fussing about that, worrying about that, buying nothing or buying cheap things which actually have the same problem, we'll be missing our boat. we'll be missing what we're here to do, because there's a bigger plan for us, and we must trust that the little things that we can't really change, that the bigger plan will help us, and that we'll go into what we can change and what we can do. And we can't change every element of exploitation. No one human being can. Everybody can, but not one can. And we got to stop being the one who thinks we are the only one who can change everything. Change everything. And demanding that we change everything. Demanding that we change everything, because it's an untruth. We change what we can. We change what we can. Okay, let me see where we go next here. I'll just do, kind of covered a few things there. Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to leave it there and open it up for comments, and then I think I'm going to do a healing code for the rest of the stuff, and then we're going to go into the we'll go into the Get It Done Day. So I'm just going to open it up right now, and before we do the healing codes, because the healing codes does kind of put us in another state. Okay, so let me get it off mute. Okay, here we go. Anybody like to say anything?
Katie, it's Loretta.
Hi, Loretta.
I don't know what it was, but as you were talking, I was feeling this deep peace, and I was sensing myself as not being a victim, but as a very powerful person who is responsible for her own attitude toward money and her own attitude toward what she has and what she doesn't have. And I was just made aware of, you know, I am one of the filthy rich, because I am living on a piece of property that is probably actually, maybe not market value, but it's probably worth close to $700,000. Mm. And I'm living on it. Now, that's not what it's going to get. If you would, we were to sell it, that's not what we would get. But, you know, I'm realizing I am one of the filthy rich. And you know what? I need to live like a rich person rather than being a victim, seeing myself as poor because this happened to me or that happened to me, or I made these choices. And I just feel a real release. I just feel a tremendous freedom to see myself differently and not to be victim. And so whatever it was, and I don't think, I know you're not talking about filthy rich. I think, you know, the powerful, compassionate rich is where I feel I am. I am very wealthy. I am very wealthy.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. Yeah, because we all are rich and in different ways. Yeah. And anybody else like to say, and I'm so glad it's shifting. That's wonderful. So, anybody else like to say something?
Yeah, this is Anne. And
hi, Anne.
Hi. I feel like I got like a little hold, like on a cliff, of something that could lead me away from this, you know, huge, huge belief, cavernous belief. And what it was that really struck me was that worrying about like where all the money is being invested and, you know, tracing it back to the 1500s, and I mean, I get really crazy about this, but that it's a distraction from doing, from really living my truth and really living my purpose in life. And that little thread, I think, will help me in my moments of, oh my God, you know, I can't live in this world of money. So thank you for that.
Okay, wonderful. And let's see if we can do some more with the healing codes and in getting that little hold out. Yeah. So who else?
Katie, it's Wend. Hi.
Hi, Wend.
Hi. I just wanted to say quickly that the one statement that you made during that really impacted me was your statement about poor people are not necessarily are not the model that we, you know, that, not the model that I want to aspire to. But yet somehow that became the model. And yeah. But it anyway, it just really struck me when you said that. That yeah, absolutely, that's not the model that I want to follow. I guess would be the word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Wendy. Actually, it was something I realized at one point. I always idolized the poor, and then I looked at the wealthy as being bad, and then I looked at people I knew who, and myself when I was in a real poor situation. And oh gosh, we're having something happening here. So, anybody else like to say something?
Katie, it's Katrina.
Great, Katrina.
I just was thinking about this afternoon. I'm doing a celebrity client of mine who is going to a Halloween gala, and they are, and I felt such a big distinction between filthy rich and wealthy in my body. And what I realized is that these people are billionaires, and the level of space and the amount of homes that they have is utterly absurd on one level. And they are filthy rich, but they're not wealthy. They're impoverished internally. And they're for like really, I mean, their families are a mess and everybody's dysfunctional and in and out of rehab, you know, really messy stuff. And I just really felt that there's a very big distinction between wealth, in my perception of it, between wealth and rich. And they're not the same.
Yeah. 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 So true. Yeah. Thank you. And, yeah, it's actually they're almost the classic thing. And they may, that if you're being wealthy does not mean that you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the thing sometimes happens where people associate that, okay, in order to be rich, you will be miserable, and so I'm not going to be rich, or I will be rich, and then subconsciously they become miserable. Not all the time, but it's an interesting thing that's kind of in the collective unconscious too, you know. So thank you. Anybody else, or we'll just go to the healing codes and then. Okay. So, and we'll clean up any other stuff that's come tomorrow, you know, that's come up tomorrow, because I know I went through a lot of topics there, and there's probably some stuff that's got to go still. But we'll see what we can do with the healing code. To encompass these issues. I pray requests that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories and all resulting physical issues related to my feelings about being wealthy and rich and the filthy rich and how I view people who are wealthy and all the things that make me view that having money will in some way make me unspiritual or corrupt me, all those beliefs, be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the creative divine. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. And we're going to, so you can focus on, you can have as a truth focus statement for this, or it's something that you lightly meditate on, is that I'm at ease with being abundant. I'm at ease with wealth. Or even it can be as simple as, it's okay for me to have money. it's okay for me to have wealth. It's okay for me to enjoy my wealth. Any one of those statements that feels like it resonates with you, you can just meditate on that. Okay, so in between the eyebrows, focusing the energy of the hands in between the eyebrows. Down to the throat. Side of the jaws. I can create joy and beauty and social justice and ecology in this world and enjoy the richness of this world. I can be a spiritual being and enjoy the material wealth of this world. Okay, side of the temples. I can be at ease with the ebb and flow of money in my life. I can feel safe, even though my ancestors and my family have known so many times of losing it all. So many disasters. I can let go those disasters, let them go where they belong to the past, and live the abundance of my present. Okay, in between the eyebrows. I have everything I need right now, in this present moment. I don't need more. Is that not true? Is it not true that in this moment I have everything I need? Food, air to breathe, a place to sleep. And I have every capacity to bring into my life what I desire. Okay, down to the throat. I can trust that there is goodness in what I want. There is goodness in what I desire. I can trust that I will use whatever money flows to me in a wise way. And that any mistakes I make will be part of my learning journey. Okay, edge of the jaw. I can be rich in 66. I can be rich in 35. I can be rich in 42. I can be rich. And it doesn't matter what age I am. It's not too late, not too early, not too soon. I can be rich. And my richness can enrich the planet. We're in between the eyebrows now. Down to the throat. What if all my worrying about money and being ethical about it, what if that worry doesn't serve me? What if I can trust? What if I can trust myself that I will know what to do when the time comes? And if I don't, I'll just wait. I can have money and wait with my money. I don't have to give it all away. I don't have to let it go so quickly like a hot potato because I might not yet know how to use it. I can be patient. I can be a guardian of my money. And there are so many beautiful ways to use money, so many beautiful projects, so many beautiful things I could support. And one of those is also me, to the side of the jaws, giving me ease and joy, giving me ease and joy so I can be a light in the world. I need something to light my light. I need something to ignite me, to keep my light burning. That is what richness, wealth, money coming in, flowing in will do. It will keep me a light in the world. A light in the world, not drowning in the world, a light. Swimming the waves, riding the waves, surfing the waves, not drowning. Not drowning anymore. Surfing the waves. Okay, side of the side of the temples again. I've bought their story that I'm evil and I'm not able to use wealth or richness or money in a way that will serve all. I've bought their story and I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go and I'm allying myself with others who are letting this old money story go. Go, go, old money story, just go. Okay, we're putting our hands on top of our head for a moment and then letting them drift to the side and opening our eyes and letting it rest on something beautiful in our environment. And I'm sure lots of you have lots of beauty around you that you don't even see half the time. So just take a moment while we're here to do that. Alrighty, I'm going to take off the lecture mode. We're actually going right into the get it done part of this day, and where people are going to say what they want to do for the next hour and a half, 2 hours. Actually, it's longer. Before we meet next time. And so I'm going to give you a moment to kind of come out of this. And if...
Katie?
I'm hoping this will work. Yes, Katrina.
Hi, sorry.
Thank you.
I have to go to work. So I won't be able to participate in the Get It Done part, unfortunately, today because I'm going out to
You'll be making money.
I'll be making money. So that's what I'm going to get
terrible.
Done today.
Great. And so have a wonderful day today. And,
but I just wanted to sign off and thank you and everyone so much for such a wonderfully juicy topic.
Yes. Well, thank you. And it'll be interesting how you are with your clients.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
So thank you, everybody. I am going to go. And I wish you all a very successful day.
Right.
Bye,
thank
Katrina.
You.
Thanks.
Bye.
Katrina.
And what if some of us could help some of these wealthy people be happier and use their wealth in ways that benefit the planet? Wouldn't that be interesting? Who knows what's possible? So, does anybody want to say anything or venture with what they want to do today?
Sure, I'll do that. I'm working on my self-care for fairy godmothers and midlife superheroes.
Oh, great. And is this, sorry, is this Nina? Or I couldn't see who was talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and say that again for a moment. There's a little bit of interference, and
I know I'm driving, and I'm not going to be calling in through the day, but I will be working on my stuff.
Great.
I'm doing sort of an ebook and a talk and an article all about this idea of I'm calling it 5 strategies to midlife without crisis, and the subtitle is easy self-care, or maybe it's just self-care for midlife superheroes and fairy godmothers.
I love it. I want to see a copy whenever you got it ready. That's fantastic. So, right. Well, good luck with that. And that sounds very juicy. I think we'll all want to get a copy when you get it going.
Well, thank you. It's going to be part of a giveaway, so I'll invite you all to that giveaway.
Thank you. And that sounds good. I'm sure everybody would like to be part of that. And anyway,
we're part of the creation, yes.
Mhm. Thank you. Great. So, good luck, Nina, as you drive to whatever work or home thing that you're going to. Anybody else? You're doing what?
I'm going to a conference, but yesterday I just worked on my stuff, which was great.
Oh, great. Yeah. So, good luck with the conference, and I hope you enjoy it. Can be very fun too. Okay, so we'll be connecting tomorrow, hopefully. Great. Thanks, Nina, and have a great day and take care of yourself. So, who else is here who would like to say something?
Loretta here.
Loretta, hi.
A question, Katie. When are we going to meet next? That's going to be necessary for me to know what I'm going to do in this period of time.
Okay, I have the schedule. I don't have it right in front of me, but did you see the schedule that was sent out?
I did. I just don't remember our next meeting time, so.
Right.
I don't know how much
let me see.
For.
I'm trying to, I got to look at this myself because otherwise I'll mix up the times because of Eastern and Pacific and I'm Central time. So here it is. The next time we meet is at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, great. So I have the morning.
Yeah. I left some more time than normal. You know, like I think I left 3 hours, but it won't be 3 hours because we're kind of going into whatever right now. So, actually, I'm thinking if nobody has any, well, we can do the first part. Usually, we don't record the Get It Done Day, but we'll keep the recording on for the moment, I guess, and just while people commit themselves to what they would like to do. So, is there anything that you would like to have as an intention for the day?
Yeah, there is. I realize it's really 3.5 hours for us because noon is like it's here. It's 8:30 now, and it's going to be noon, so it's 3.5 hours. What I want to commit to, this very poor woman has five bank accounts. I've got to bring them together. This is ridiculous what I did. But, I mean, I have 4 personal and 1 for the farm. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to organize all of the, I'm pretty much up to date up to August, but September and October, mm-hmm. all the, you know, money I've spent and the receipts and all that are in one big pile. I'm going to sort them, and I'm going to really work on getting all that financial information updated so that it's in the computer or in my own little system that I have set up. And then I'm going to have to decide later just which ones I'm going to close and how I'm going to, you know, just manage it better rather than having all these, you know, little bits of money here and there and elsewhere, which I started for a reason, but the reasons no longer exist, so.
Oh,
great. I'm going to work on organizing my material, and with the 3.5 hours, I'll have time to get it done as well and see where it leads me. At least that's what I think.
Wonderful. So let me see. We are really, it will be 8 a.m. It will be 12 a.m. Pacific, definitely. So
that's great.
So
I have
you do have time
to do it after I left the ticket. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the chickens, yeah.
Yeah, they're still in their coop. I got to get out there and let them out.
Wow, yes. Well, we'll be so who else wants to – thank you, Loretta. So, Denise, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm going to – I have a lot to get done, but I'm going to be working on a Facebook page for an event, and also I have some copy I need to write for my TELUS Summit that I have planned for – mid-January. So
okay.
I need to get that.
Wonderful. So that you've got a full day there. So what do you want to get immediately, like in this particular period? Start on the Facebook?
Yeah, I need to get the Facebook page done for the event, which I don't think is going to take me that long. And then I want to – I have a spreadsheet, a long checklist of items that I need to do for the telethon, that I need to go over that and pick the ones that I need to get done in the near term. And I know that getting copy written, I'll get started on that right now.
Wonderful.
So probably
great.
In this next 3 hours, I should be able to get the Facebook page done and get a start on the copy.
Okay, good. So wonderful. So who would like to go next and say what they would like to do?
I would like to go. It's Tyra.
Yes, Tyra. Hi, Tyra.
Hi. I'm going to spend the day primarily working on my outline for the movie, which has been evading for a long, long time, and I've set this whole day aside for that. I finish the part that I want to today, I'm going to do some organizing of papers and look at my bills.
Yes. Okay, that sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
So good luck with that. And for the first few hours, I guess you'll be starting on the outline.
That's what I'm going to be doing all the way through until I'm comfortable with at least translating all the stuff that I've done in the past to the format that I need.
Great, great. Thank
you. Have it in order.
Yeah. So wonderful, Tyra. So we'll see what you've done by the end of the day. And we'll be checking in between. So anybody else want to say what they're going to be up to?
Yeah, this is Anne. Or did someone else?
Yes, Anne. Hi.
Hi. So what I'm going to be doing for the first 3.5 hours is finishing up this project of putting everything into an Excel sheet of all my business expenses, and then finishing off my taxes for 2011 and 2012. They're done. I just have to put them in the mail.
Right. Great.
So I'm just going to really handle this financial piece, and then if I have a little time, I'm going to start writing. I'm going to actually, I already wrote it, but I'm just going to put it into my computer, a sales letter.
Oh, good for you. So what would you like to, if the taxes for the 2011 and 2012 are ready, would it make sense for you just to do the first thing is just to go mail it?
That would be the best thing.
That will, because that will get something that it seems like maybe you've put off a little tiny bit. Done.
I just got them from my tax guy, and I just need to write the checks and put them in the mail, and that should be the first thing that I do, so I don't put it off any longer.
Yeah, and then you'll have lots of energy for the rest of those things. So
yes.
Fantastic. So we'll meet again when you've done that, I guess. So thanks, Anne. Who else would like to go next?
It's Wendt.
Hi, Wendt.
Hi. Speaking of, I was going to do back income taxes today because I have a few years that are over. So
right,
waiting for me for quite a while to do. So that's what I'm going to do.
They've been waiting for a get-it-done day.
Yeah, they've been waiting for a get-it-done day.
What was she practicing?
Sorry?
She's going to be doing her back income tax.
Oh, back, okay. Thank you.
And so what do you think you'll do, like, for this actual next couple of hours?
Well, first I actually have to go and make, I just realized during the healing codes that I didn't have enough money. It was rent day yesterday. Oh my God, I completely forgot. So I have to go and put some money in my bank account, and then I'll come back, and then I will start organizing my papers. And it's sort of already organized, but I have to kind of dive into where I last left it off, which I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great. So you'll just start doing that. Sounds good. So
yeah,
good luck. And who else wants to say something?
It's Kathy. I too have my old 2011, 2012 taxes to do.
We got to do these, get it done for taxes more often.
Yeah, and I'd have to figure out where I left off because when I had to clear the house, I just put everything in a box and now I have to kind of pull it out. And it's almost ready, and it's been almost ready for 8 months. But, there's for some reason there's initiation energy that I have to overcome to kind of get it out the door. And I was going to go to hear a friend's concert this afternoon, but I think I need to kind of spend the day getting this stuff done just to get it done.
That would be marvelous. I'm sure it'll make you feel a lot lighter and enjoy the other concerts when they come.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, great, Kathy. So who else wants to volunteer to do something that needs getting done? Anybody else there?
Hi, Katie. It's Alex.
Yeah? Hi, Alex.
So my day is a little bit changed. My client canceled, so I thought I didn't have to go to the studio, but now I realized I forgot to mail this shirt to a customer, and it's kind of urgent. She wants it, like, expedited to get there for Thursday. So I'm in a bit of a dilemma. I guess I could go there and do that and then do some of this get it done day stuff there is what I'm
right.
thinking. So
yeah, just not to lose too much kind of energy.
Yeah,
I guess.
So
is there any way you can get anybody else to do it, or you can't?
I'm thinking about that, how to do that, but it doesn't, I can't. Yeah. So that's my first choice. And so if I can't, then I have to go all the way there and mail that shirt. And then I want to focus on doing a budget for last month and this month and kind of see where I'm at. And then look at, like, all my business expenses and personal expenses. And then also just sort of get a better picture of where I might have to make some changes. Like, maybe...
Yeah,
I was talking to you about, like, yeah, shifting some staff things and cutbacks and things like that, or how to do that. So that was, and then maybe I'd also like to tonight, or if at some point, mm-hmm. if I don't get it done by 3, organize my receipts that are in my wallet, like just get a bit of a better mm-hmm. system going, for, like a weekly system.
Wonderful. So it looks like you got lots on your plate. So, okay. So, and it's pretty clear what you're doing first, which is getting this thing mailed and focusing on your budget and then the other stuff. And we'll be going for, you know, a number of sessions. And so, Alex, later on in the day, we were going to meet at some point. So maybe email me when you know what would be a good time.
Okay.
Okay, or yeah. So, anybody else to say something about, or most people who are still on the call have spoken, except one person, and I think I'm not sure if that's. I think it's, you know, Shelley who can't talk, but it might be somebody else. So, if anybody else is on the call and we hasn't said anything, please go ahead. Okay. Well, I think we're good to go, and we don't want to spend too much time talking about things. I'm going to go off to the market and get a little bit of food. It's been a little hard with what's going on. And then I'm going to look at what I can do financially. It's probably going to be sorting receipts and everything and getting ready, getting things more up to date. So anyway, good luck, everybody. Have fun doing what you're doing, and we'll be talking to you at, and let me see the time again because I'm not real good at keeping times in my mind. So it will be 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 a.m. Pacific. Okay? Wonderful. So we'll see you then, everybody, and thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Good luck.
Take care. Bye. Good luck, everybody.
Have fun. Have some chocolate. Bye.